And honestly, as a man baby myself, I love this book.
I have actually had multiple people be like, oh, but I really like the baby one, but I am an adult.
Are you kidding me? This is fantastic.
We are the
Get Realisms podcast.
I am Madam Chase Reddy.
And I am Christine Chin. And surprise, we're both filmmakers.
We get into it by sharing secrets, advice, and gossip in filmmaking.
And we even get our other filmmaking friends to share theirs too.
So please, everybody, join us for
an ode to filmmaking.
We're here all together, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Get Realisms podcast, episode 172.
Wow.
We're all here. My name is Adam Chase Rennie.
And I am Christine Chen. And this is the rest of the team. We haven't been together for 2 years, we think.
Yeah, it's probably more, honestly.
Yeah, we talk to each other, but we aren't like in person because I moved. So,
by the way, my name's Kelly Penna, and this is
Jason. We're all together here.
Yes,
Christine is back here now, and she's traveled very far and wide from sunny Los Angeles to come all the way here. Actually, I think there's like a storm going on, or like some just like turbulent weather over there.
In Los LA. Angeles? Oh, thank God I'm here.
Yeah. Something's going on over there. It's probably best to be here in sunny Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
So how you been?
I'm very happy to be back in Texas.
Yeah.
I think
we're happy you're here.
I'm just happy. I think you don't realize how good you have it till you go somewhere else and then you realize, oh, wait.
Yeah.
I miss everything.
And you're here for your birthday.
Yes.
Which do you want to say how old you are?
Oh.
But you don't look it though. You don't look it at all. That's what I'm saying.
Take 20 and times it by 2.
That's all right.
Yeah. 40. Yay.
But you don't look it though. You look fantastic. I look 50.
Shut up.
From this camera. Good God. What's new? What's going on? I'm really tired. I'm sorry.
We're all tired. I'm just excited that I'm here.
Me too. Honestly, me too.
Just context, just in case people who are just getting on this podcast for the first time. So Kelly is the illustrator for Get Realisms. Jason is the, zine? Okay. What do you want to call it? Is the zine designer? The zine creator?
Or mostly mixed media.
Yeah.
Poems.
Yeah. So mixed media designer for the Get Realisms, the original Get Realisms book. And it's weird because we created all of this while we were on set in Austin in 2016, like for Terrorbirds.
The first Trump term.
Wow. Yeah, I definitely think that was our first idea of it when we started talking about it.
We were on this really shitty set that was not our set. And we realized, oh, everybody else's sets suck. In our field, especially in indie filmmaking, there's often a lot of new people that get pulled in because new people are cheaper. And then all the non-new people are forced to teach, which is good, but it's also been a culture of non-teaching and we don't want that. So while we were on this set of Terrorbirds, we just thought of what are all the things we would have liked to have known?
Yeah.
That could be fun and educational, blah, blah, blah. But we were on set and I would take notes in my phone and we'd come up with, oh, cool, that's a term that I should know or people should know. And we just started creating that. And then 2 years later, book.
I don't think it was 2 years.
Was it not 2 years? It was a year.
We got the first copies of the book after Kickstarter in 2019.
That's about, okay. So
you said
2016.
3 years.
That's 3 years.
Three, okay. But we were actively creating it.
When we finished and had a book in our hands was 2019.
Dang.
But you guys were full time though, working on the
correct.
Book.
We were not only working on the book. Like this we were working between. So it was a lot of us being on set, being like, hey, we should add this term.
Yeah, we kept collecting like bits of pieces of information as we were working and like seeing other people's, like when you first started, what was the thing that confused you? They're like, oh, Apple Box or something.
Really?
So, yeah. Okay. So we would collect terms as we were working.
Oh, to, like, so you took like a populist survey on every shoot that y'all did.
Pretty much. And then people had fun because they would be like, actually, I have yet another list of things for the next edition, but people are always like, you should add this. I'm like, God damn it. Yeah, it's a collective of our personal experiences and other people's experiences on set. And I think that's why people like it so much. And it's neat that we're still here.
Yes.
And we don't hate each other.
I was going to say, between the three of you guys, making a book, I'm sure there was a lot of like trials and errors of this doesn't work, that works, this doesn't work. By the way, we have a special guest, Bucky. He's off camera. Yeah,
my dog is here.
He's a little sad and he sees people. He's a little left out. Bucky, would you like to say anything, please? Thank you so much, Bucky.
That was him saying hi.
Bucky Penna, everybody. So yes. You guys had probably like a trial and error with your books, right? Like you probably had ideas and then was that process?
I think it was more of not necessarily like editing. It was more of Christine definitely had the good idea of we need this. And I was like, really, do we? She was like, yes. I'm like, okay, fine. Mm-hmm. And then like, okay, also we need this. I'm like, oh, okay, fine. And maybe we need to do this too. Like it kept like growing, but I think it worked out to where it's a pretty good comprehensive of a little bit of everything. It definitely doesn't have 100% everything you learn on set, but it's a good overall base,
which is where the newer editions come from. It's like you have added information, probably more pages.
Honestly, we did such a good job that I feel like we did.
It was the perfect film book. No second draft, nothing.
But like our other drafts were more little cosmetic things.
Yeah.
Or I'll have people come up and say, oh, you missed maybe this one. There was maybe one spelling error or something.
A lot of it was like tweaking phrasing. Like I think when we were working together and going over the book, I think that was a big thing I did was like tweak phrasing. I was like, Christine, this makes no sense. And she'd be like, it makes sense. I'm like, read this out. But she also would send it out to other people for them to review. Be like, does this read well? Do you like, what are your notes?
Okay.
We took everybody's opinions in because it wasn't just, a lot of people work on set, not just us. So we had other people's ideas.
And it's just like a good starter, like consensus of what to expect on a film shoot. It's literally filmmaking 101.
Yes, but
and like all the terms you
all
need.
The departments, I think,
and every department.
I think that's the key. And now having worked more sets in Los Angeles, it's what's very different, in my opinion, is one is a very union centric city, and the other one is just make it work, which is Texas and Austin. And there's good and pros and cons for both, but I really appreciate that I started working in an environment that was very much do anything that you can to make it work. Because you learn a little bit about everything. And I find that some of the best filmmakers come from knowing a little bit of everything because there's just a respect for everybody's work positions and stuff like that. I'm not saying that you don't get that in Los Angeles, but
it's different though.
It's different. If you work and you're always expected to just only stay in your lane.
Right.
You hyper-focus on things, which is what you eventually need to do, but you can be so hyper-focused in what you're doing that you have no clue why everybody else's job is just as important as yours, or like what you need to mutually work together.
Yeah, I definitely think it's like, growing up basically in the Austin film scene, you definitely learn to just work with the other departments and not just be like, I'm art, this is my section, that's it. No, Jeannie has to load in first, so where can I set my stuff to where I'm not in their way?
Yeah.
I'm saying this because I was art department. I can't just dress the whole room. I have to talk to the DP of what are we going to see, because I don't want to waste time and energy. Right. And if we're looking in one direction, I want to make sure like all the basically money pieces, everything that looks really good is in front of camera, not behind it. So you have to work with other departments. I don't understand people who are just like, I'm just going to do this.
Right.
And
department.
That's it.
Not my
department. Not my department. No, it's not your department, but
it's going to affect everybody.
It's like
what you do.
Yeah. That department is right next to you.
Yes.
And is working right next to you.
I understand why.
So honestly, it would even work for even not just beginner filmmakers, but filmmakers in general, to just have a fundamental understanding of these departments and know why it's important.
Yes.
Why every department from production all the way down is important, below the line, above the line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yes. the birth of that came from another trip to Austin, coming from Los Angeles. And my friends had just gotten pregnant with their second child, Darren Christine, who I'm staying with. And Darren came in and said, oh, you should do a limited edition of your original book, but on this kind of material. And then I was like, oh, no, we're going to do something.
And this material is really nice.
This is like the baby board book type.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
Basically, like heavy, almost like cardboard.
Yeah.
And so I basically wrote it on my phone, like within the last 2 days, sent it over to Kelly and was like, we're going to do this. Yeah. But we had a deadline because the baby was popping out. So I wanted it to be ready for
new babies and that baby specifically.
Yes, that baby.
Oh, well, we just missed her husband. But you caught a glimpse of it. We saw you, Russell. We did. We caught you on camera, Russell. You can't hide from us.
We're laughing because we just hear the noises of low crawling behind us.
I thought I heard something I was like, there's some swishing happening. I'm like, I'm going to ignore it.
I just like the immediate pop-up.
Yeah.
The studio is my house.
Yeah. This is a residential establishment. Although it's a Get Realism's headquarters. This is a studio for us. So we were talking about the baby book and how you had to get it out fast.
Yes.
Because for all the babies out there, shout out to all the babies.
For all the babies out there.
Yeah. And then she shortened the timeline because she wanted to be at a book festival.
Yes, that was it. Which it was great.
Really?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we introduced it at a book festival and it did well.
So that one was a fast turnaround. So
very fast.
3 years compared to a month.
Yeah.
Maybe a month.
That's crazy.
So yeah, I don't want to. Let's not keep that pace up. Let's not like all of a sudden be like, can we do it in 2 weeks?
Yeah. Let's just, what can we do in 2 days? That's crazy.
Yeah. And we're here now, and we're in bookstores now, which is pretty cool.
Still buy online.
You can buy on Amazon. Yes. So you can still buy it on our getrealisms.com, Etsy, and Amazon.
Ooh, okay.
Yes. We get a lot of people on Etsy usually.
Of course. Yeah.
And then now we do a lot of in-person stuff. We try to go to meet people both in Los Angeles and here in Austin, Texas. And yeah.
I have a question for you. Did you have a lot of people hitting up these books in LA when you were there?
They're even bigger now in LA because
really?
I think there is LA people love film people in LA love film things, right?
Yeah, of course.
And so I feel like to me, LA will always be, even if it's maybe reality, not where all the jobs are coming from, like it will always be like a symbol of when you think of fashion, you think France or Paris.
Sure.
And whatever Paris does, everyone copies on the same thing.
Yeah.
In LA, whether it's the realistic aspect of what's happening right now in the industry, I think it's always going to be the place where whatever LA is doing is the standard. And if they do it, then everybody follows suit. And the reason why I say this is I remember being on set and somebody mentioning, oh, film tools. Oh, I got this from Film Tools. And it was a RoboCup, the little thing attachments to the stands and stuff like that. And then the second year that I was in LA, being able to go to CineGear, big cinema gear festival, essentially what it was. And then being able to be next to the dude who invented RoboCup.
That's rad.
Which is really neat. That's how we got our stuff in film tools. So it is now available in Film Tools. And it's just neat that somebody in Austin specifically was like, oh, I bought this stuff at Film Tools, and then being able to be in the same environment.
Well, you get your RoboCup.
Yeah. So I think if anything, if my career goes to shit, even though I'm in LA, because I'm in LA, the one thing I can say that's definitely helped us with is I feel Get Realisms, because it at least legitimizes it.
Yeah.
It's not, oh, these cute little Austin people made this cute little book.
No, it's a like, serious ass.
It's a
book.
Somebody who is in LA who talks to all the union people, they like it. So now there's like a trickle down effect of, okay, maybe they know what they're talking about.
Yeah, because if you flip through the book, it shows that we have experience. It may be different from a lot of people, but it is a good variety of experience that we have on set. So that's how we were able to make it. People were like, oh, they don't know what they're doing. It's like, we know a little
bit. We know. No, I think what it's confirmed moving from Austin to LA is, oh, shit, I know a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Austin is awesome. Like, there's just this environment of collaboration and community that you can't run from. Like, they literally, people are going to chase you with community. Los Angeles, you have to create your own community. And that's been the hardest part being there is if people don't feel like you're worth their time,
they're going to disregard you.
They're going to move on. And so you have to stand out in some way or hopefully meet great people, authentic friends, and you are going to maybe have, I like four or five very good friends right now. But in terms of here coming back,
Christine has been running around all Austin every day this week because she has so many friends, because they're all like, hey, do you want to do this thing?
That wouldn't happen.
On a Thursday.
You have shit to do. I have work. I can't.
It would not happen in Los Angeles.
That's true. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was like, I thought about this. Wouldn't happen. This is not normal, like, for Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I didn't set up anything for my actual birthday because I was coming. I was driving directly from a set the day before in San Diego. And I didn't want to set something and be like, oh, by the way, you guys all showed up, but I'm not there. So when I was leaving El Paso, because that's the halfway point from San Diego, really from California.
Yeah, it is actually.
To Austin. And I knew about the approximate time that I would arrive in Austin. I was like, okay, actually I can set up something. Mm-hmm. So that morning officially, like, texted a few. I posted something on my Facebook wall, and 15 people or so showed up that day. That doesn't happen in Los Angeles, and so I think that's awesome. That's what I miss about Austin, Texas.
Because I think you're right. It is more of a communal aspect. I like that was a thing. Like, even moving here to Austin and you introducing me to Austin people, showing me my first set and getting to know you and Jason, like getting to know a lot of these people, they definitely look out for you.
They look
out
for each other. Yeah.
And especially like other departments that I'm like friendly with, but they would text me and be like, hey, they're looking for an RPA. I know I'm G&E, but if you want this RPA thing, go for it. And that's what I definitely enjoy. I feel like though, LA is 100% not that. It is. That's not to say that LA is never great. I'm sure it is in so many ways.
It's got moments. I think what it is it's a bunch of people who did well in their respective cities.
Sure.
And decided that they want to try to level up. And so they all go
the gut of filmmaking in LA.
To go back. And so you are surrounded by people who are very good at what they do, trying to make it. Right. And because of that, you are forced to try to be better because you're surrounded by superstars versus like maybe in your respective city, you might have been the best or one of the best, right, in your city. And you're not being pushed out of your comfort zone because you have reached pretty much a good level type thing. It's like when you're lifting weights, like if you have to continue to lift heavier or you're not going to grow,
you can't do 5 pounds
for the rest of your life. And so that is what you gain when you go to Los Angeles, is being surrounded by people who are extremely good at what they're doing and extremely dedicated because they've sacrificed a lot. Moving to Los Angeles is a sacrifice because you're leaving your friends. It's so expensive. Like, the first year where I live is the Valley, and it was so hot. And I'm like, I thought I moved here for some beautiful Los Angeles winter.
Oh, no, it's hot.
And it's the same temperature as it is in Texas, but I'm paying three times as much.
But no one has AC.
And nobody has AC. That's the part of it is that when we first moved to our place, which the reason why we chose the Valley is because you have access to like houses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And my roommates are also from Austin, and friend of a podcast, Roxy McDaniel. And we moved into this house where I thought we didn't have AC. And it's because the AC is so old. It's a wooden panel. AC. Like, it's from the 70s.
I know whenever exactly they first invented
ACs.
It's like a tiny little unit. I thought it was like a fixable.
This is probably an aesthetic thing.
No.
It could not possibly be what we're using as the AC.
Yeah.
And it's very loud. It goes when I'm sleeping. Yeah. So I moved somewhere that's just as hot.
How long are the summers in LA?
They can, they're not that long.
Not long, right?
Yeah, they're not that long.
Yeah, I think that's part of the reason everyone in Texas has AC is because we have such long summers. We're like, no, we need AC.
Fucking starts.
It's right now.
After February, it is 195 degrees every day until November.
Although it's been nice right now. It's actually gorgeous outside.
It's great. It's a nice breeze.
I'm just going to laugh.
Yeah, because in the dead middle of the summer, it is impossible to be outside.
Yeah.
It's literally impossible to be outside.
I'm actually same with a little LA, afraid but... for the summer because April has already had some warm days. May looks like it's gonna get warm pretty quickly. Ooh. And I'm a little scared.
Yeah, and we had a lot
y'all.
Yeah. And doesn't that mean because we had quite a bit of rain in April? Yeah, so does that mean it's gonna get fucking hot?
I'm not sure.
I'm not a meteorologist.
I'm just scared of all of the mosquitoes you guys have.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I've already gotten lit up. I got lit up by mosquitoes the other week.
The year that I moved, we had a mosquito problem as well in Los Angeles.
Really?
Yeah. Right.
There's wasps there too, but not a lot.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
And there to get away from the mosquito. And then there were mosquitoes. It was just as hot. And
they're
and
always
then
there.
Gas is three times and everything else is three times. I'm like, why the fuck did I do this?
Christine's having a great time out
there. Just having a blast.
Yeah.
No, it is tough. And you like, that's the thing. It's like living in LA. I have friends who live in LA and they're like, oh, I have this job. I have that job. I have this job. I have that. They have five jobs.
Yeah.
In between gig jobs, like Uber and stuff like
that. Piano. I'm a piano teacher. I moved to LA to become a professional piano teacher.
But that's a thing too, right? Wasn't there the whole time, like during the writer's strike, there was like op-eds and articles that I've read that there's writers who like won like Emmys and they fucking have to DoorDash.
Yeah.
They have to like make ends meet. They're fuck.
Because it's so expensive.
There's not a ton of writing jobs and I got to make ends meet.
Yeah. I was explaining that. The other hard part about LA is that it is so expensive that you just don't live. Like you stay at home, you make it work at home. And I'm somebody who I like to be out and about and doing stuff. And so I used to do all my work at coffee shops and be out.
She loves a good coffee.
I would even do work at the local bar.
Yeah.
It was fun. But here I'm calculating, okay, if I do a coffee shop, I'm spending at least $9. And then, or if I go at a bar, it's going to be $20 at least.
Mm-hmm. So, God forbid there's public parking.
So no parking lot. So that's going to be another $5 to $10 right there. And then I'll be stuck in traffic going to some places 3 miles away.
Yeah.
For an hour.
It could be down the street.
It literally can be down the street. And it's
your gridlock.
An hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes zero sense whatsoever. I have now at least learned how to come to deal with it.
And you live in the Valley too. So anywhere you have to go around Hollywood or LA in general, you have to leave an hour and a half early.
Yes. But
even
now
if it's 30 minutes.
Now I use it as I listen to so many podcasts. So I treat it as this is my learning time. Or I call people. Now it's become. I just call. So if you guys get a random phone call, that's why it's probably.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So like, hey guys, I'm stuck in traffic. How are you?
I do that. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think why people do go there is you are drowning in film.
Yeah.
I've watched more movies than I've ever watched because you need to know and be able to talk to people. Most people's conversations are, hey, are you watching The Pit?
Right.
Are you watching The Last of Us? That scene where, you know.
You're like, what?
You need to know. Oh, now I.
Everyone keeps up
with everything.
Yeah.
Here, remember when I was living here, I watched like nothing, really.
Yeah.
I didn't really watch. Because I was out.
Because compared to traffic there to here, you're just like, I can get anywhere.
I got to Kelly's place in 15 minutes. It was amazing. 15 minutes. And you're like 7 miles away. Or maybe.
From Darren's house? It's more than seven.
More than, maybe 9 miles?
He's on the west side, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's more than, yes. It's more than that.
But it only took 15 minutes. It's amazing. So, yeah, everywhere. It's just been 15 minutes. I think the most was like going to Lakeway, but that's because that's 30 miles away. And even that was like 45 minutes.
Yeah. Anything is better than just being gridlock on the 405, the baking sun.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Listen. I refuse to be in any car with you. It is a crisis. By the way, Bucky tore out all that stuffing.
Oh, he's mad.
Oh, he's mad. Oh, hi, baby. He's upset. He's so sad.
You were guest of the podcast.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's, man, that's Bucky. Yeah. But I, at least you're – so you were talking about it before we recorded. You're going to plan on retiring here. And it's just like,
that's my plan.
Fuck LA. I'm going to be here.
I want to be where the people are.
Not to quote Ariel or anything.
Exactly.
So. See them singing and dancing.
Pretty much that.
Don't forget your dingle
hopper. Yeah. But there is something very beautiful here in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
And it's the community where people take care of each other.
It's a great community.
And it's a community that people take care of each other, even if they don't think about what can you do for me first. That is not the first thing that crosses their mind. It's you're a human, you need help, let's go do something. Type things. And it's great because it works great in my favor in LA.
You pointed out because a lot of people are flakes. In California. I'm sorry. This is coming from a guy who's from the Bay Area.
Yes.
You people are flakes in California.
So
I'm a flake.
It goes a long way.
I know this. Yeah.
It goes a long way if you're somebody who goes.
But when you're here in Texas and you make plans, nothing makes you feel more shitty than not following through with that plan or like planning a lunch with somebody and be like, hey, I forgot I had this lunch and I don't want to sit in traffic. Find new friends. I can't be there.
I mean, yeah.
That's basically LA. California.
That's just LA.
Yeah, I think Texas is so accessible.
Yeah.
Especially Austin.
Yeah.
Even though it's
not a lately,
big
though.
City, it's not really a big city.
No.
Distance-wise, it's not Houston, it's not San Antonio. So part of it is if you make plans,
you have
and you make plans as in like this time, this day.
You have no excuse.
Unless something comes up.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There's not that many excuses.
Which versus Los Angeles, on any given day, there's 50 things happening. So people are just...
Everyone has a meeting.
Everybody has a meeting.
Yeah.
The number of times Roxy's like, all right, this whole week is just coffee dates, coffee meetings, coffee everything.
Yeah.
And because you have to.
Yeah.
And you feel this guilt when you don't go to some of these events because... You don't know. Maybe that one event.
You're missing out.
You met this one person who's going to green light something, blah, blah, blah. So then you just feel like you have to be doing something.
LA sounds like a terrible city for introverts. I don't think I could ever.
Or it's the best city for introverts because you are just landlocked at all times and you don't want to go anywhere. So you're just stuck at home most of the time.
To quote another friend of the... Realism, Neil Budney.
Yeah.
I'm an outdoor cat.
Yeah.
So I'm very quiet and I'm reserved, but I like to go out and do things on my own, then come back home to eat my treats. Yeah. So outdoor cat. So yeah, I'm an introvert. I don't like big, lots of people events, but I still like to go out and do stuff. So I feel like if it is expensive and there is a lot of traffic.
You would just not.
I would just not. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'd be like, I can't afford that.
Even just going to the movies, like just like a movie ticket over there.
Oh, luckily I have
DGA
status. Yeah. So that's why
nice.
I would not be seeing it because it's too expensive. But because I have DGA status, that's the cool part is that I can go watch the movies and a lot of them have Q&As. So that is something that I've been able to experience, don't get to here, which is hearing directly from the creators. Like why they did certain things, lots of, it's been great from a learning experience, but from a living your life separate from your career experience, that's the part that is really hard.
Yeah.
You just forgo that.
Sure.
And because you're surrounded by people who are in the same boat, they forgo their, everything is just career.
What are you going to do for me?
Yeah. Your relationships, except a few, your relationships become that. It's just a lot of surface, lots of surfaces. you have lots of surface, like I know a lot of people in LA, but it's like the depth of it, right. Like this much.
You're not in a texting conversation. Correct. You're just a contact.
Yeah. And it's hard for some, for a person who already feels like any person that I meet, I value in-depth conversations, in-depth anything.
Yeah.
And you can do that more so here, I think, just because everybody in the South, they're also very nosy as well.
Yeah.
So they want to know the tea.
They want to know. And
I got to tell you something. This is the first time, not the first, living here in Texas, I never had more neighbors who are interested in what's going on with me than any time I've been in California since I was born in the Bay Area.
Yes.
Not a fucking soul of a neighbor ever gave a shit about what was around. And we moved all the time, but we just didn't have neighbors that were like that. I've moved to this house. I know everyone on the street now.
Yes.
What is happening?
That's the culture here.
It is nice.
Yes.
It is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the relationships that you have go deeper.
Of course.
Yes. And it's just, if you're a person who naturally gravitates towards deeper relationships, just being in an environment where it's
surface.
Very disheartening a lot of times. So I learned it the hard way of being like, oh yeah. Somebody said, let's get coffee. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Cool. Let's be friends. And then asking and trying to make the plan and.
Oh,
and
I gotta stop.
Traffic. Whatever. Yeah. Then realizing, oh, you didn't actually mean it. You just said it to say type thing. Oh, this other thing I learned that I don't know if you guys have it here, but I'm in the dating world. And I met somebody on set who were like, okay, let's, he asked me on a date.
Oh,
and we exchanged Instagrams because that's how you do it.
Yeah, of course.
And
what are you, a psychopath? You're going to give your phone number to a stranger?
We had a date, like a day. We even talked about a day. And then that was it. Like, never.
Oh, y'all never went out.
I think the Instagram thing should have been a flag.
That's how everybody in Los Angeles does it.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Dating, asking someone for a date, but then, oh, what's your Instagram?
I don't want a psychopath to know my, at least I can block them on Instagram if they are weird.
Block the phone number too.
But you can completely erase all those messages once you block them on Instagram. So they won't know your text history if you put your address out, God forbid.
Is it that sketchy out there?
Yeah.
It's pretty bad. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it's just dating in general
Kelly is in a very good relationship.
I know. You're married. You don't know anything.
I'm kidding. She's been married forever. Yes.
No. Yeah. Because everything's about like safety and like everyone has a mistrust. It's almost like dating is like having a loaded gun in the middle of the table. Listen, I won't touch it. I just want to be nice, okay? Just just don't touch the gun, please. I just want to talk. That's basically how it feels with dating, at least for me. That's why I stopped dating. I'm just going to be celibate for the rest of my life.
But do you guys have this issue here?
Yeah.
With the
Instagram? Well, I do, because I don't like giving out my phone number.
You don't mind doing the Instagram exchange.
I like it too,
Because for me, I see so many people, like, there's a face, usually, like, in the pictures, and I can remember.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
But the...
How many guys are in your DMs just, like, hollering at you, bro? Yeah. I've had, like, maybe, like, a total of 4.
Well, okay. There's also something with Christine. She's not good at saving numbers either, so that's probably also why.
Oh,
terrible! So,
you know what's funny is that we've known each other for now 6 years.
Do I have your number?
And we only communicate via Facebook Messenger. I do Facebook Messenger is like with international cousins of mine and like family members who don't have my phone number and they're in another country.
But it's always more reliable. Like,
it's reliable, texting. And then texting.
Because it's on my computer and I'm always on my computer.
Yeah.
And then I think unless you're definitely an iPhone, sometimes even if your number is saved, it doesn't pop up on the search function of iMessage. Yeah.
Okay.
That's why you save their name with the number.
But so I
the
do.
The name pops up.
But the name sometimes doesn't pop up, especially if you're not an iPhone user.
Really?
I don't know. I feel like it's easy for me to...
I just
that feels like I just like typed something in, wrong on your phone.
Yeah, because I'm just like Kelly. All right, there's her. Yeah, there's our text thread, no, and that's it.
It's easier for me on Facebook Messenger. Yeah, because I just Facebook.
But like, because you do the same thing, but you could do that same thing on iMessage as well. I don't want to work smarter.
Whatever works.
I want to work harder. Okay, leave me alone. No, but yeah, you're right though. I feel like it is environmentally different there than it is here, especially in the dating scene, because you do have flakes. You do have people who can never open up. Mm-hmm. Even if you ask them, what's your family like? They just fucking crumble. You know what I mean? But like with here, you get meaningful connections. You have people who are willing to talk. Yeah, they're just, it's just having a conversation.
Yeah.
But I guess everyone is just paranoid that everything's recorded, or feels if they, I don't know, like they share something personal, they're going to be used against that. I don't know. Like people.
I don't know what it is. I think here's my.
People are a little tense.
In LA.
Right now.
I think it's multiple things that are working. The city is one of them that's working against us.
Sure.
So
the accessibility of it too.
It's accessibility in the city. Yeah. So when I go out, I have to think about, okay, it's maybe 2 miles away, but I need 1 hour.
Yeah. I need an hour and a half.
And I'm planning everywhere. And this is probably definitely worse for men because for the most part, it's still traditional where you guys like pay for the dates. And
of
stuff.
Course. Yeah.
So then they have to think about, all right, now I basically had to drop at least $50 to meet this one person. And then on top of that, you've got thousands of events that are happening on that same day. So many choices.
Because then you feel like you're missing out on opportunities to network and then level up your career. And because,
yeah.
But I'm too busy on this fucking date.
Yeah. So then
I got to work.
You add all those things together. And it's so expensive that you are just trying to get work.
You're strapped.
Right. You're scrapping. You are balancing 2 to 3 different jobs. And so you add all that up and it's want to know.
Yeah.
If you're worth my time, like you end up having to be that way.
And isn't that a little sad, right?
Super sad.
Like, are you worth my time?
Yeah.
I get it. It sucks.
Which is probably also why they exchange Instagrams first, because then they vet you.
They can look through. Oh, yeah. For sure.
You're worth my time.
Yeah. Or are you a real / good person?
I think the good part comes in. I think it's
more no, like, that's true.
Are you
a
successful person is really what the people are looking for.
Do you
for.
Do shit? Yeah.
It is super sad. It's
dating sucks.
Sorry. I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
Your perfect husband.
We're looking for suitable partners here, ladies and gentlemen. Lend us a line, if you will.
Yeah. So I think that's the issue with LA. So but I am there and we're trying to spread the love for Get Realisms and everything,
but the connections that you've made thus far, especially in LA, like just even alone, like the guests alone are fucking crazy.
So that's what I think
Jim, Michael, all of these guys, like they were so cool.
We have that's the other thing is the access though. For the most part, if you are trying to level up a career, you do end up there. And therefore, there's a bunch of superstars that are there that probably have more time than they've ever had, because it's a bunch of superstars competing for the 3-4 jobs that are available.
For sure.
So then the other times, they just end up having a lot more time and are more willing to like have a sit down and do a podcast because that's good for their career type thing. And so that's been... Yeah, we've had some cool guests. So,
yeah.
The freaking gaffer from E.T., June. Yeah.
Awesome. That was amazing.
Yeah.
Those were one of my favorites.
Michael Goy, who is the Lifetime Achievement Award winner this year for the American Society of Cinematographers.
And he's like part of the committee as well. Yeah. In that.
Yeah. It's just like people, we're getting access to different level of people. But when it comes to personal and living life.
Oh, there's nothing of
there's
that.
There's nothing like Austin, Texas.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, it's better here.
Oh, yeah.
For personal reasons in your life.
Yeah, you can live life here. Like when we first started in this industry, at least when I first started in this industry, I was dirt poor still then. But like,
yeah,
you can still have a life and be dirt poor here because there's so many community events that are happening.
A lot of people are dirt poor.
Yeah, because it's an entrepreneur startup culture here as well. So a lot of people
are creative
and trying to do something new. And I don't know, like there's Blues on the Green. They're just during South By, there's events you can go to that are free. There's just, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I mean, we definitely have a lot of, I think a lot of it is also, it's like local filmmakers putting together events too. Yeah. It's not like just big corporate stuff. It's
right.
Like local filmmakers like, oh, let's do a mixer at this bar on Thursday. It's, oh yeah, let's do some get together. Let's do, yeah, I think that's part of it is a lot of local filmmakers put together small events that are free, which helps, which because that's, again, how you build more community.
Right.
Meet people, jump on set randomly.
Yeah. Yeah. South By works too, but it's intense.
That's what we're trying to do in Los Angeles. Me and Elizabeth, we've been doing these happy hours.
Yeah, I saw that on the page. Yeah.
Just to, because I'm like, if I can't find community, I just gotta fucking
do it yourself.
It. Yeah. Which I'm now instilling the, depending on the vibe of the set, I try to get everybody to go out afterwards.
Yeah.
Which,
depending on the vibe of the set.
Right.
Which is like a requirement.
You got to read the room.
Yeah. It's literally a requirement here.
But sometimes there'll be people like, yes, let's go. And then on the 12th hour, if you even look at me, I'm going to send you to the
sun. But I feel like it's like it's culturally, people are more willing to go get a drink.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Because everything gets, you can take 15 minutes to get to versus. I get it. We're in LA, everybody's spread out. So some people are probably living an hour and a half away from each other.
I feel like
so
a lot of people would be living in the Valley. I feel like, isn't that like the...
There's a lot of people living in the Valley.
Cheap.
But yeah, now I'm, depending on the set, and now at the very start of the set, I'm like, we're going out afterwards. In the middle of the set, I still say,
all going out, right?
She's serious. And I've gotten people to come out, so...
I think I've definitely had that before where I thought to myself, I'm like, man, I could really use a fucking shower right now. And then somehow I end up at a bar with you and everyone else and we're just having a drink. I'm like, man, I gotta go home. But I like hanging out with you guys. Because it's fun. It's fun because it's that communal aspect of it. And I
still
feel like,
believe in movies with your friends.
Because why else would you do it? Yeah. You're just, I'm gonna work with strangers who I never met before to make my dream a reality. Especially Bucky's dream of trying to be with us and crying off camera. Okay. You can't hear it, but he is crying. Yeah. Bucky, would you like to say anything, please?
Say hi. Hello. Bucky says hi.
Hello.
Hi, Bucky.
Great job, Bucky. We love Bucky, don't we?
We love you. But yeah, Austin, Texas is awesome.
So you're going to move back soon.
Yes.
Essentially.
I don't know about soon, but that's my retirement plan.
Your future plan. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Begins and ends with Austin for you. Austin. Yeah. That's a good place to go.
I mean, I'd take Shreveport over Los Angeles.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Less traveling in Shreveport.
I definitely remember when you lived there. You're like, everything's 5 minutes away.
It's great. Yeah. I got so many things done. It's in a day. It was great. Yeah. I know, boo-boo. I gain time moving here. I literally gain time.
You feel like you have free time. You feel like you're just like, oh, shit, I can do laundry. I can clean. I can do shit. That's crazy.
Yeah, because you're not spending three times the amount of time in your car.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. It's like I didn't even realize that even moving here to Texas a few years ago, Bucky, you're already moving the mic stuff. You're turning down my volume. I love you too. Oh, what was I gonna say? I don't remember.
Sitting in your car.
Oh yeah, it was like 90% of my life, like working retail, my previous career before film, was just 90% in my car the entire time. And the 10% that I am working, I'm working. So when I go home, I'm just fucking going home because I know I'm going to hit traffic. I know I don't have time to hang out with friends. I know I made plans with friends, but I say, go fuck yourself. I'm going home. You know what I mean? And it made me into a miserable person until I moved here. And I realized that, oh, shit, like having friends and going out and stuff is
not only fantastic.
It's life.
But it's good for your mental health.
It's good for your mental health. That is the issue.
Because we're social creatures at the end of the day. As much as I tell my, I am an introvert, which I am. I am an introvert. I've been an indoor kid my entire life. But
indoor cat.
Yeah. I just being home. But at the same time, I know how great it is. No, but I know how great it is to be with friends. And I like doing this too, like podcasts, because you get to, it's like an excuse of just hanging out with friends and stuff. And
that's
talking
why, I mean,
to
Uber
talented
was
people. It's
an excuse to hang out with everyone.
Exactly. Exactly.
It always cracks me up when people say that it's an excuse. I'm like, do you really need an excuse though? You don't. You're
friends. No.
You just.
Yeah. No, but it's nice though to be at a place of where you work with people who you are your friends.
We made so much. Like the amount of stuff we made here is so much because we'd just be like, "Hey, what are you doing next weekend? Okay, let's just this like one page, two page short or whatever."
Yeah.
All right, I got a camera. You got okay? Let's do it.
Yeah, I think that's one thing about Austin is like. At least back in the day, I don't know how it is for like newcomers, but that's how we got so much experience. It was just like these quick fire challenges were all around Austin and San Antonio. Oh, 48-hour or 24-hour or just, hey, I have an idea for this contest that Alan was doing or something like that. There's all these like mini challenges that was good to just practice something fun for a weekend. It was always just like one or two days or Friday to Sunday or something like that.
But the amount of people you meet was great.
With whatever you have in your closet.
Yeah, of course.
And I don't think there's that vibe in Los Angeles because everybody is coming from having a lot of experience.
Sure.
So it's harder for them.
Oh, so it feels like it's beneath them?
Yeah. Or I think people are too worried about, hey, I can't just ask, unless you're like very good friends. Which is already difficult to get to that point. And even there, everybody has their separate lives and are far away from each other. So just getting people to, it is so difficult for me to get like four of my closest friends together to do anything. It's literally, okay,
in LA.
On May 5th, like 2 months from now, at this time, unless I get a gig, we are going to try to hang out together.
Yeah.
And what I'm going back to, I'm trying to do a spec commercial for fun, but it's hard because the person who is the DP, like she might have some other gig or whatever. And she doesn't want to just bring, she's at a certain level. So like, it can't just be thrown together. It's got to look a certain way or it's going to look like they didn't improve either. And everything is a whole thing.
And so you can't get anything done.
You can't get anything done because everybody makes it a whole thing.
No one wants to hang out.
Yeah, nobody actually really wants to hang out. They all want to see how this is going to benefit their career. So then it becomes just
a thing. To have it as a job, not just as an excuse to just hang out with a friend. Just make it a job and then you can hang out with your friends.
Yeah.
If you're in LA.
So speaking of that, have you noticed like working with people you can tell they've never done challenges like that? They've never had to do like zero money. Let's just figure this out with what we have. Like not just LA people, but I'm like in general, can you be like, you've never done a 48-hour. You've always had money to like figure it out.
Oh yeah.
Because I feel like I've noticed that too. I'm like, I could do that for $0.
Yeah.
They just can't think outside of the box type thing. That's I don't want to say all film students are like this, but
no.
It's just when you learn how to do things a certain way, I understand it's hard to understand that there's more ways to do something, the same thing.
Yeah, of course.
I think also people quite literally equate dollar value with looking cheap. And that's not always the case.
Most of the time it's not.
Yeah. But I think a lot of people who learned a certain way, they're afraid of that happening. If I don't spend the money, it will look cheap.
Yeah, it will look like a B-rated like film. But that's the thing, though. As crafty as you can be, as scrappy as you can be, you can just figure this shit out on the fly.
And it can look
good.
And
it can look good.
And it can look quality and not like it was. You just got to think a little bit outside the box.
But I've definitely worked with people, even in art, that are just like if we can have more money, we can do that. And I just think in the back of my brain, I'm like, we don't have to, though. We can just do it out right now. You know?
Also, I think that's part of the reason, like, community is so strong and awesome because it's somebody who has it. Or you'd be like,
yeah, hey, that's true.
That's part of it. It's like, we have resources in each other. Also know how to do it on a dime.
And you have genuine enough relationships that people trust to provide that without caring whether it's going to be a guaranteed reciprocal type thing. Like, it's without any second agenda. It's you can type thing. It's easy to do that. So yeah, it's so easy to come back and be like, all right, let's, if I wanted to do a shoot right now, freaking, we have five people, and we can put something together like real fast.
Do something. Yeah.
Yeah. And people would be willing and happy and excited to do that.
Yeah.
So then that's probably the thing with LA is a lot of dreaming, right? It's like a lot of, oh, we could do this. We should do that. We should do this.
So much talking.
So much talking.
Oh my God.
And I know that's the one thing you do not like.
Stand. Yeah. No, I'm like, let's just do it now.
Yeah. Are you free tomorrow? Let's do it. Yeah.
I'm like, let's do this. Okay. That's doable. Let's do it tomorrow.
Yeah, you want to do a thing that I work doing and you want to do it now?
Yeah.
Excuse me. People are
like, but tomorrow I have to go to this. It's just a million excuses. I'm like, you didn't actually really want to do this. Yeah.
You But that's what I honestly, like, even looking back, like in, you know, older episodes, I've done that like a few weeks ago. I look back in older episodes and seeing like even the beginnings of Urzali and seeing how that came to fruition and us like, or sorry, you going to that studio in Louisiana, looking at it, I'd be like, I think this is a great studio. I think this is a studio that we're gonna do Urzali in. And I'm like, it is great seeing that because I see your spirit of just getting it, just doing it, and we'll figure it out. And I think that's like the thing that's why we're the number one podcast in the world. Well, number one film podcast in the world, where we do shit, where you see like lots of, I don't see a lot of podcasts that are just like, you know, are scrappy filmmakers who are just like, yeah, we're gonna do it this way and we'll do it now.
Yeah, we were just never given anything. We made whatever resources we had access to or other people had access to to cobble it together. It's DIY and it's
just like the books. Yeah,
which is it is. But most people would have been like, oh, we don't have, I've never published a book. I've never published a book. We've never illustrated.
You guys are fucking book writers, dude. That's crazy. Y'all are authors.
Yeah. But most people would just talk about it and then just not
do
it.
I remember I was on this one set and there was a kind of a bigger name actor and I showed him the book and he's like, what made you, not in an insulting way, he's like, what made you think you would be able to
pull this off?
No, illustrate a whole book. I was like, why not? Nobody told me no, so why not? I didn't necessarily care if it was going to be amazing, but I knew I could get it done.
Do it.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing is if you can do it.
Yeah.
Why not? Exactly.
And also it's like, it's a professional ass book. It's not like you said, like something that's just cobbled together and we're just going to say that, oh, it's a book and there it is. No, it's a professional book that you as a filmmaker can read and probably learn from. You know what I mean? This is education.
Or your baby, or
you are a man baby. So I think I see your point is that like having that independent spirit of just doing the film and just getting out there and just doing like
it's practice, it's reps,
but it's inspirational too, right? Because even me looking back at those previous episodes, Bucky is just he is trying his heart, he's fighting for his life. I find myself inspired when I look back at older episodes. I'm like, holy shit, we've done so many of these episodes, and this episode was awesome, and then the previous episode before that was awesome. I find myself like listening to some of this and it inspired even myself to just do more as like a filmmaker.
I like that you go back and revisit because I do too.
Because this is
like, we talked about stuff that's actually interesting.
Yeah.
We're cool.
We do cool shit.
It's like we know what we're doing.
We have cool interviews. We have cool people, talented people come on to the podcast. We had so many episodes with like our friends who are like, actual, like they're filmmakers and
they're doing awesome things.
And because if you guys have been keeping up with film at all, like it's rough out there right now.
Yeah, it's the Hunger Games.
It's rough out there. And it's sometimes it's daunting. I've just been, I'm not embarrassed to say, I've been picking up PA gigs just to make
ends meet. I picked up PA gigs too.
You know?
So let's just, LA obviously has been very tough, but like things have changed in Austin now too. Like it's getting harder in Austin. There's not as many jobs.
No.
The people who are really working consistently have a huge network. They know a lot of people. And so yeah, even in Austin, the landscape has changed a little bit.
Sure.
So because there's no films out here. Yeah. And because everybody.
A handful of commercials here and there.
Yeah. So all the like top art department people are going to get those gigs. And then I usually get the short films, but they are doing those gigs now.
Yeah.
They are getting those gigs. And for me, I'm just like, I could do a PA.
But I think that's the thing is in environments like this, it is the time to get together with your community to try to do stuff.
Now more than ever
to do stuff. I've always been a believer that momentum generates more momentum. So it is easier to sit and be sad and depressed and complain about it and stuff like that. But I think I'd rather be depressed and sad and working with my friends and making something and then having something to show for. And
I will say, I think I understand why people in Austin might have a harder time doing stuff like that, where it's just like a quick fire or something on the weekend, whenever they're just searching for jobs.
Yeah, oh yeah, I get it. Because
survive, they're trying to like, I need to pay the bills. Especially, I think it's easier when you're younger.
It's worse.
It's a little bit harder when you're older because you have more responsibilities. You're a little tired, frankly, the body hurts
things
a little
hurt.
Bit. Yeah, so it's a little harder when you're like, I need a paycheck.
Yeah.
I think that's the rub is we should, it is a great time. You have some free time. Maybe you have some resources, but the hurdle is but everyone's worried about
survival.
Yeah. Which it's is
not
shows
a good
the environment of both LA and Austin for sure right now.
Survival mode is a terrible mode to try to be creative in.
And I know, I think it's like the Texas court is trying to at least make some sort of momentum and bringing tax incentives back to Texas to bring filmmaking. Because like Fear the Walking Dead used to be out here. Now they're not.
Yeah.
Where'd they go? That's
I don't, it's probably. Honestly, probably. Or, I thought they moved.
There's a spinoff show, but that show's done.
Oh, but even that, there's even like Walker, I think.
Yeah, Walker's done.
I think that's done. Yeah.
Yeah, that got canceled after the season.
And now it's just what?
Yeah, that
the shooting
one.
Outside of San Antonio.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they're still.
I think
they're still around. I don't know if they're like shooting in season right now. Because the thing is, like, when I've been around town, I have run into crew members where I've worked with before. One of the first things that's part of conversation now is, have you been working?
Yeah.
And it's not like, give me a job. It's more, are you okay? Have you been working?
What's going on?
Are you doing good?
But that's nice that at least people care.
Yeah, but I get those questions
because
too,
but
it stresses me out.
But
every time.
I get those questions, but it's more on the line of, give me a job.
Yeah.
Not, I don't care about you.
What can you do for me?
Yes. It is, what can you get me on? Is how it is in LA. Yeah.
Listen, your boys got to eat.
Well, to be fair, it is like, how are you? But it is also like planting the seed. Like, hey,
sure.
If you hear anything.
Yeah.
Because I honestly, whatever chance I get, I try to bring
push.
Yeah.
On
me too.
Any chance I get, I try so hard. But it's hard.
It is.
Because even the project now, I feel like they don't have as much budget as they used to. So they're keeping the crew smaller.
Yeah.
Yes.
To save on money.
Yeah.
Which means less jobs.
Yeah. It's an interesting time right now.
It's but every industry is facing this.
Aren't you glad you don't work in the industry anymore?
No comment. No, but it's tough. But like you said, like at least we have each other.
Yes.
We have each other. Yes. So it's tough. For everybody. And I wish, I don't know, like maybe for, especially in LA, like it should be a little bit more of a consistent conversation, just being real and personal and just being like, I'm not getting work. I don't know. I have to do DoorDash on this. Mm-hmm. I have to do gig economy stuff.
Yeah.
I have to get a full 9-to-5 job. Some people it's tough, but at the end of the day, as long as you remain faithful to film, things will eventually work out. Like
Sinners.
Yeah. And Sinners is an interesting one because it's like,
it was filmed to the South.
It's Louisiana. Basically indie with a crazy budget.
What was the budget?
I don't feel like it's pretty. Just,
it's a period piece.
Wait, I want to know what the budget
was. That's not a small budget. Any of those factors.
But it's successful too. That's the other part, is that now we can see that independent films, and by the way, independent films always have been successful. It's not, they fail. There's independent films that won Oscars.
Yeah.
So
that's true. It's like a weird, like, projected thing onto indies. All crap.
Sinners was a $90 million.
So it's a beefy budget. But it's not but it's not like Black Panther, which is what Ryan Coogler did. Because Black Panther was over 100, at least over 100, I'm pretty sure.
Very sizable budget.
Exactly. So with that, it feels good to see a film like Sinners be as successful as it is, because then it gives hope for indie filmmakers to go, hey, you can start a franchise and own your shit. You have all of that. And you can own it.
Separate from the studio.
Exactly. You still get the distribution. You still get the film screenings. You still have all of that, but you still retain those. It doesn't go back to Warner Bros. It doesn't go back to wherever the studio is, because you keep it. That should be the industry standard. Right. But studios don't want to do that.
No,
a lot of people want to own that shit. Just like what's going on in the country so far. This is not a political podcast, but what's going on with the country? It's like the above the line is scraping way more and just taking it away from the actual production line, the below the line, us,
the workers,
who put in the work and the time, just so I can be like, yeah, that's not mine anymore. Yeah. That belongs to them. I can't do anything with that.
Yeah.
I can't spin it off. I can't make more movies. Like Ryan, he can make comic books, he can make spinoffs, he can make shows.
It's an excellent,
he can do whatever he wants, really. Yeah.
Go watch it. It's an excellent.
I haven't seen it. I'm going to watch it for sure.
It's an excellent film. Yeah.
But yeah, it gives me hope. It gives me hope.
I think people need to lean into alternative ways of how movies are made, alternative ways as to distribution and stuff like that. I know in our previous podcast, we talked about verticals, which are not a big thing here in Texas yet, but they're coming. They're big. They're single-handedly keeping LA employed.
That's crazy.
But there are people who look down on them because it's a new technology. Mm-hmm. So if people don't know, verticals are basically movies that are filmed for the phone specifically. So they are vertical.
And you literally said you just simply turn the camera sideways. And that's how you shoot it.
Yes.
That's so simple.
That's incredibly. For some reason, I'm like, oh, you need a special camera.
This thing. No.
Just turn your Arri Alexa to the side and you're good.
Yeah, that's how we did the one that I helped to direct.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
That is cool.
And
but I'm still apprehensive.
I see these things.
I'm a little apprehensive.
I get it. But I feel like
it's too.
Never good to fight against the momentum of technology. It's going to happen.
No, of course not. Yeah. You
know? It's happening. It's complaining.
There's an
about
opportunity
it.
There.
I see it as an opportunity is how I think about it.
I'm going to let my dog out.
Yeah,
okay. We're at that spot where it's been an hour, more than an hour. So.
Has it?
Yeah.
Oh.
I see it on the live things.
Oh, wow. Time flies when we're having.
Yay. We're excited. We're going to go eat barbecue.
Hell yeah. That's what we're
while
doing.
In Texas.
That's the Texas way. I hear Bucky barking.
For my 40th, it was either La Barbecue, Via 3. We did Via 3 and 3 last time, but that wasn't for a celebration. It was just us getting together. I already hit up Loro, so I have these little check marks. I had crawfish 2 times.
Two times.
But I have a bag at home. Because the host was like, I think you should take home one of these bags.
And you're like,
nothing makes Christine happier more than a grocery bag full of crawfish. That's crazy. Sea bugs.
So, there's some crawfish back. And so I have not had proper barbecue yet. I've had breakfast tacos.
Nice.
Oh, thank God you had breakfast tacos.
I miss them.
If there's anything I can send to the sun, it would be breakfast tacos. I know it's good. I know it's good. It is great, but.
Are you the breakfast burrito person?
I'm a breakfast nothing person.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't eat breakfast. But like seeing only breakfast tacos is like, Because there's some sets where I don't have a choice. I have to eat.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, like, it would be, like, the turnaround would be crazy. Yeah, and I won't even have time to eat fucking dinner.
There are no breakfast tacos in L.A. Yeah.
Sets. Yeah. But I'm sure there's maybe not healthier alternatives.
Oh, it's everybody.
But it's, like, bagels.
That is something that is nice on L.A. sets, is everybody has every freaking
diet
you can imagine. So the set food is significantly healthier than it is in Texas. So there is that to look forward to. Yes.
I like that. No, but there's plenty of sets I've been on where it's, hey, it's going to be breakfast tacos and Chipotle for the 7,000th time.
I definitely remember the one set we were on. It's just because we were getting up so early. We'd be getting at set like 4 or 5 a.m. and there was only one place that was open early enough to give us any sort of breakfast, and it was breakfast tacos
for every time.
Weeks.
Forever. Yeah.
And it was the funniest thing watching one of the ACs, like 4 a.m, stagger over to the table, the breakfast tacos with coffee in his hand. He would just look, take two steps away and just stare off into the
Let me contemplate this for 2 hours.
Yeah. The catering options for LA sets are definitely much more expensive. And I don't have to lie that I'm a
better
vegetarian.
Food, though, right?
I did.
No.
Austin's food is, Austin's food scene is unreal for how the size of it.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had some good, like, even Texas barbecue on shoots.
Yeah. But if you're rich, okay, be able to experience that.
Maybe I can take out a loan and have lunch. Yeah. That's nice. Yeah. That's so funny.
Yeah.
I definitely think it's a staple of the set. In Texas, if the client comes from out of town, if they come from LA or somewhere, they're like, yep, barbecue. We gotta get you barbecue one day.
Yeah, yes. Of course. That's a prerequisite.
Yes. So we're gonna go to Le Barbecue. This is not sponsored by Le Barbecue.
Unless you want to sponsor.
We love a sponsor.
Yeah, we would love to be sponsored.
We want to be sponsored.
Yes.
So you want to take this plane for a landing? Wow. That hour just went
that
by.
That went by fast.
That's crazy.
It's because we haven't been together in so long.
We haven't been together and we're finally back. Hopefully we can do more of these because honestly, I prefer podcasts this way.
In person.
Yeah.
Way more.
Yeah, sure.
That's why I even had dreams of moving to LA and we're like, we're going to build a Get Realism studio and record.
I love that. I love that. We got to manifest that I just replied to a business grant type thing.
Or even if I live in the Bay Area, it's a 5-hour drive to LA. I can just fucking shell out a weekend and just go to LA. Yeah. We record a couple episodes and then, fuck, whatever. Maybe one day.
One day. If you keep watching and supporting your books, then definitely.
Yeah. That's the way it is. So you know what it is. GetRealisms.com, ladies and gentlemen. Pick up your books. Pick up your hat, pick up your shirt, pick up everything that you need. We got tees like these. We got hats. We got books. This is the GetRealisms.com. This is the Get Realisms podcast.
Yes. And go check out GetRealismsAcademy.com. That's something where I'm rolling out, but that's all the in-person events that are happening right now in Los Angeles.
If you're in LA, reach out.
Yeah.
Reach out. You'll see Christine. Maybe not me. Maybe not Kelly, but you'll definitely see Christine. All right, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. And we'll catch you on the...